Hi, everyone. This is Veronika Kirilenko of the New American Magazine. We're at CPAC in Washington, D.C., and next to me, I have the wonderful Dr. Meryl Ness, a physician, a medical researcher with expertise in biological warfare, and the president and founder of an organization called Door to Freedom. Dr. Ness, it's great to see you. So you've been trotting around the globe giving presentations and speeches to the parliaments in Europe. You speak with various lawmakers in various countries in America. And you warn about the pandemic treaty that is currently negotiated by the World Health Organization, as well as the amendments to the international health regulations. So would you please give us an idea how the WHO came up with this brilliant idea to central control and central management of the pandemics, or rather what they call health emergencies of international concern, and why are you so opposed to them?
So I doubt that the WHO came up with this idea on its own. The WHO is being used by basically a cabal of globalists in an attempt to have a soft coup and take over much of global governance through the concept of health and pandemics. The idea is to get us frightened of pandemics, so frightened that basically we'll do whatever they want: lockdowns, unlicensed vaccines without liability, etc. What happened is that the reason the WHO was chosen for this purpose is that it has its own constitution. No other subsidiary UN agency has a constitution except the WHO, which means it can actually make treaties with nations. But the WHO itself is unaccountable. You can't take it to any court. All the employees have diplomatic immunity. So it can do whatever it wants. There is, unlike the UN, there is no Security Council with veto power. So because of this basic bureaucratic setup, it works perfectly to be the organization to bring about certain aspects of global governance. And so a few things had to happen. One was the creation of a concept called One Health, which is 20 years old. One Health allegedly says that you can't really consider health of humans in isolation, but you must also consider the health of animals, plants, and ecosystems, because they too are important for health. And so they are all part of One Health. And billions of dollars have been spent to embed the idea of One Health into the law, into the legal structures of the United States, other countries, and the public health systems around the world. Okay? So you have all these public health professionals that have been taught for a dozen or more years that they need to follow a new way of conceptualizing health and consider animals, plants, and ecosystems part of health. This then turns over all those things to the WHO to manage in the event of an emergency. What these two new documents do, which are to be voted on in May, is expand the scope of the WHO so that the Director General would be able to call environmental emergencies, climate emergencies, food emergencies, and all he needs is for any of these issues to have the potential to affect public health in the future. So he can say, well, sugar may cause diabetes in the future, so you can't have sugar anymore, for example.
Or meat, right.
And crickets are much better for the environment. So what these documents do is give the Director General the power to do that in the future. They also change the nature, the relationship of the WHO and individual countries, so that the WHO will now be in a position to govern them on health. It will give orders, and the nations will be required to obey those orders. And there's a compliance committee, an implementation committee, and there are other means that are being developed to force compliance of the nations with the WHO's orders. The nations are also going to have to pay for this, and the WHO doesn't want to say how much it's going to cost, but some estimates have been that the budget would go up 10 times, from about $4 billion a year to about $40 billion. Some people said $60 billion a year. We don't know what it's going to be. The rules have not been established yet. What the WHO is asking for in the pandemic treaty is for us to give them a blank check. Let them make the rules later. Let them tell us what the price is later, but we've already signed up to go along. The international health regulations are a little different. They are existing already, but right now they are almost entirely recommendations, and they will be expanded, so they will be almost entirely orders in the future. Both documents demand censorship, demand through the WHO that all nations perform surveillance of their citizens' social media and stop them from spreading health misinformation. Also, they have to control infodemics, which is defined by the WHO as too much information. Another thing that is in these documents is that the WHO has created a biohub, and it directs nations to go out and find what are called potential pandemic pathogens. I call them biological warfare agents. They are to be shared with the WHO in its biohub in a program called Pathogen Access and Benefits System, which means if you give the WHO a virus that turns out to be deadly and somebody wants to make a vaccine against it, you get royalties for the production of the vaccine. But you're also required to put the sequence of the virus online so that any hacker can get it. And the WHO will share the samples and the sequences with nations, with universities, research centers, and pharmaceutical manufacturers. In other words, this is called proliferation of biological warfare agents, which is against the law based on the Biological Weapons Convention. So the WHO is creating this whole new system supposedly to prevent and ameliorate biological warfare and pandemics, but they're actually making it more likely to have those happen. And they are completely ignoring, pretending it doesn't exist, the existing legal framework for preventing biological warfare, because it would stop them in their tracks. So this is a big mess. It would require your nation to share your medical records with the WHO. You would be swabbed. You would have a swab up your nose or your mouth whenever the WHO said people need to be tested. It's a mess. It's ending privacy. It's ending free speech. It's giving an authority to the WHO that most constitutions don't allow it to have. In the United States, the states govern healthcare based on the Constitution, which says anything not specified as a federal responsibility reverts to the states. So the Biden administration proposes to take healthcare, which it doesn't have any responsibility for really, and turn it over to the WHO, which we say is illegal. But the legal, how do you fight this? Because you can't take the WHO to court. You know, it takes a long time to take the Biden administration to court if they turn it over. Many nations have constitutions that say that if you want to give up sovereignty, any sovereignty of that nation, it requires a extreme process. In Ireland, a referendum. In Holland, two different votes of the entire parliament, you know, before and after the parliament. There's been a vote on parliamentarians, you know, in order to change the composition of the parliament. So it's very difficult. But again, the WHO is ignoring all that and just sort of moving forward, bulldozing forward, with some sort of wealthy globalist, presumably Bill Gates, etc., behind them, pushing this along. The other thing that's happening is that Tedros keeps saying that people like me are lying and misleading about these treaties. Well, if you go to the Sovereignty Coalition, I have screenshots from the actual documents that we've posted on the booth right behind you, at our booth, and you can read what the documents say yourself. It's very clear that this is what they're doing. They are taking away free speech. They are going to cause pandemics. They're taking away privacy. They're taking away medical freedom.
This is this is crazy. Okay, and on your website, doorsofreedom.org, I've noticed that you explicitly connect everything that's happening with the IHR and the pandemic treaty to the Great Reset. Can you explain why you do this?
Well, as you look around, you can see many things are rapidly changing in our society. You know, the DEI, ESGs, you know, the transgender efforts, the change in the food system, the basically the attack on cows because they belch methane. I mean, these are crazy things. Many other things are happening too, you know, debanking. So Nigel Farage, who's here at this conference, was debanked. Joe Mercola was debanked. That means your bank says, we are no longer going to process money for you. Your credit cards don't work. You know, you can't travel until you find a new bank and have transferred over all your accounts. And that could take a lot of time because we don't know what information they'll give you. You know, your ability to use a bank and use money is gone. So these are just some of the things that are happening to punish people like us that are trying to fight against this. And I call it the Great Reset. I lost my medical license, not for anything I did to a patient. There have never been any patient complaints ever in my entire career, but because I was spreading misinformation and treating people legally with legal drugs like ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine. So I do not have a medical license, haven't had one for 2 years. This is a Great Reset. This is a globalist plan to completely reshape the system that we live in and gain greater control over our lives and basically grab more of the resources of the planet.
What's the action plan to stop this evil agenda in its tracks?
The first thing, and really the main thing, is for people to start understanding it. People look around and say, there's all these things you don't like about what's happening. Realize that this is an agenda. This is not just happening by chance. There are people who have spent billions and billions of dollars to bring this about. You know, the fact that they have drag queens reading to kindergartners in libraries all around the United States did not just happen by chance automatically at the same time. And the attack on food, for example, it's not just here. You know, in Canada, they're talking about getting rid of cows. In Ireland, in Holland, and the farmers who are selling their farms in Holland are not allowed to farm anywhere else in the EU. That is the tip-off that they want to reduce the food supply. It's not that they just want the land. It's not that they're worried about belching cows, because if you feed the cows different feed that contains certain kinds of seaweed, they don't belch methane anymore. It's not methane, and it's not even the land, because they could go up to northern Norway and farm, but they're not allowed to, or actually, Norway is not part of the EU, but they could go up to northern Finland and farm, and they're not being allowed to do that because they don't want them producing food. They want a new food system. They want, you know, I'm sorry, they want us eating bugs for whatever reason. So the WHO is just one part of this. It was an easy way to gain control of healthcare and information control. So they've already got the mainstream media. This was an attempt to gain control of the social media as well, and alternative media. If nobody wants it, if we don't walk into the ovens in the concentration camp, there are not enough of them to force us. We are a million to one. You know, there are not that many. There's a few thousand globalists, and there's 8 billion people on the planet. Once we understand that the WHO is not a benevolent organization trying to improve our health, but rather is there to control us, and in fact, all its advice during the pandemic was designed to harm us, when we realize that it's not a trustworthy organization, we don't go along. We don't, even if our nation signs up, we have a year to get out of the International Health Regulation Amendments in May if our nations do sign up. But we all just say no. We say no. This is baloney. They're lying to us. They're telling us these documents are intended to save us from pandemics. They're going to cost a fortune, and they're going to cause more pandemics. Why would anyone want it? So just spreading the word, reading the documents, seeing what's in them. I have, you know, selected the most salient points of the documents. Maybe Veronica will come over and we'll film some of the excerpts from the pandemic treaty and the IHR so everybody can see what's in them. And then you'll realize, do you want this or not?
Dr. Ness, how can people learn more about you and your work?
So my organization, Door to Freedom, is focused on the WHO and these documents, but we also have about 40 articles on other aspects of the Great Reset. DoorToFreedom.org, and if you want to read my work, it is MerylNass.substack.com. myrylnass.com, myrylnass.substack.com. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Doctor.
All right, parents, listen up. We've all seen the countless examples of how radical leftists have been destroying American schools. It's no longer just about the terrible math and reading levels. Now radical left teachers birthed from liberal universities are forcing gender indoctrination in kindergarten. They're teaching lessons on white guilt.
Freedom Project Academy has perfected live online learning over the course of a decade. I get a ton of great feedback about this program, a ton.
They're built on Judeo-Christian values, a classical curriculum. What does that mean? It means they're taught, your children are taught the way that the founding generations of the country. My own son, Noah, did Freedom Project Academy for several years when he was younger.
The more we tell our friends about these things, the more people will get on board. And I believe that we can be the catalyst to some real change.
We must save the West. Our way of life and our culture is under attack. And because of patriots like you and your project, I have optimism for the future.